It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this time we are reviewing, it's just us two today, me and Joe, and we're reviewing the 9th studio album by Slayer. And this was recorded in Canada, apparently, and that's what it's all about. This is one of them albums for me. Didn't Kerry King kind of write this all on his own?
It's pretty,
I think he did.
Yeah, it's pretty much Kerry's baby, this one. Let me see if I can find the writing credits, but
I think he did pretty much write it all.
Pretty much, I think it's 10 of the songs he either solely wrote or wrote all the music or all the lyrics, one or the other or both. He's on 10 of the songs, yeah. And I think
I think he played the bass probably as well at this point.
I don't know when that actually came into some. It's been said for the last few albums that he's actually played the bass as well, and I don't think that's Kerry King being a control freak. I think that's Tom Araya being a lazy cunt.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he's lost his. He's just kind of rode that gravy train for a few years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he. I think that's him. I'll just come in and do the vocals, and it saves a job. There's obviously the big thing about Injustice 4, you can't hear the bass, but a lot of people tend to forget you can't hear the bass on Rain and Blood either.
No. And you can on later recordings, but there's a lot more you can tell on Injustice, though. There's probably a lot more going on beneath the surface with the bass.
Apparently he's a great bass player, though. Like, he's up there with Giddy Lee. But
oh no, I've seen him play when they were jamming Freebird a couple of years ago, and it was on YouTube, and you see him fucking smashing it out like so.
Yeah,
I can believe.
You've got solely King music and lyrics on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 songs. And you've got him contributing lyrics to another 2. Yeah, so there you go. What was it? What did I say originally? 7 songs he's wrote everything. And then a further 2 he's wrote lyrics for.
So this is pretty much his album, isn't it, really?
Make that 3, including the Darkness of Christ little intro thing. And then Hanneman's wrote music for... Oh, no, yeah. So there's one here that King and Hanneman wrote songs for, so that's another one. And then Hanneman's wrote music on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So King solely wrote music on 5, 6, 7. Solely wrote music on 7, but contributed to 8. And pretty much, apart from 3 songs, wrote lyrics on 10. So, yeah, this is generally regarded as Kerry's album.
There was a few things on it, though, that just kind of... 7 string guitars.
That was a 90s
2000 thing. And do you know what? Can we just get this out the way for me personally? You don't need 7 strings. Stop being a cunt. And do you know them bass players that have them basses with like fucking, they're just basically like harps that you carry. Go the fuck away. It's cool. Yeah, that's cool. But just fuck off, mate. Just stop it.
This is kind of part 2 of the Slayer go nu metal thing, that debacle that was Diablo Musica. Now, we didn't mind that album when we reassessed it on the last app. I say about Kit God Hates Us All the same thing I say about Diablo Musica, is if it's a nu metal album, then it's one of the best nu metal albums. That I can't really slag off nu metal because I came up during nu metal, so for me to just turn around and slate it all would be hypocritical. It was the gateway for me. So
I can, and I most likely will. So let's take us to the first one, Darkness of Christ. It's an intro. That's it.
Basically,
do they still have this
like
intro?
Little...
No, they still play this little bit of intro before they come on. Unless I'm mistaken, I remember this coming on before they went live the last time I seen them a few years ago.
I'm sure
they do.
Yeah, and then we kick straight in. I mean, it's a little bit of a song, though. There's some sort of riff being played out. Kerry's screaming some sort of lyrics, and I'm looking at this thing here, which was written by Kerry. But then, we're straight into Disciple, which...
One of my favourite recent songs of Slayer of late.
It's one of my favourite... Full stop. I fucking love this song. And it's now a mainstay in their live set. a regular opener as well, especially when they're doing like a festival.
That's why I think they play the intro, because then they just go into that. It works. It's like fucking Metallica and they're
Go ahead.
No, this is one of them songs. If Kelly kind of wrote all and done it all, this is one of them tracks that make me think if he was him away from Slayer wouldn't be a bad thing. But it is an album of two sides, I think, for me. But yeah, it's good to see what they can come with. It's brutal and the drumming is on point. And yeah, I think they could have done without the shitty intro and just went straight into this, because that would work better for me. And I'll always about chopping and changing albums if they don't sound right. And for me, this should have opened it, because this is a fucking great song. And the slowdown bit is awesome as well.
Oh, mate, yeah. Again, I think this is an odd album, because for everything this album gets slated for, and this album does get slated, by the way, let's have it out the bat. It may or may not
get slated by me, we'll see.
Well, it's the album that gets slated by a lot of people because it's different. Same with Diablo Musica. These are the two albums that everyone sort of shits on. But then Slayer always gets shat on for not changing it up. It's like, oh, every Slayer album says the same. It's like, well, they tried doing it on these two albums. They didn't go melodic. They didn't soften the sound in any way. They just experimented it and tried attacking things from different angles. Granted, it doesn't always work, but when it does work, it works a treat, and that is a prime example on this track. I think it's got everything you want from a modern heavy song and from a modern Slayer song. It's got some of the best lyrics that the band have ever written, and that's Kerry that wrote these ones.
This is a track that still gets played on my phone. This is a
rather than
phone
the Antichrist,
track.
It's just about anti-religion in general. It's angry. It's pissed off at the world. It's got everything. It's got even a little bit of melody in the even when it's going dun dun during the God Hates Us All dun 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 dun. Even it has a little in the backgrounds, and then at the end when it slows down the dun 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 and it kicks back in. I despise this fucking place over and over again. I reject this.
It's a great fucking song.
This fucking makes me want to pick this chair up and throw it for the fucking window.
It's been one of them days for both of us. Yeah. We both come into this show angered up to fuck for various reasons. And this song would probably cause some kind of fight in a pub if we were both sat there now, to be fair.
No, I mean, I've been listening to this in the gym. And this one on the treadmill, fucking... it's just a fucking... Yeah, it's just an song. And it's fucking... It's a perfect Slayer song for me. I fucking love this track. And I'm glad it's a mainstay.
Yeah, it should be, because it's good. And the next song, God Send Death, the riffs are good. I can hear the seven string guitars and I'm like, and in my notes I put seven string guitars are for pricks, and fight me for it because I'll win. It's different to Slayer, and I can see that they're trying to push the boat out here. It's heavy, but it's different. But like, the solos are on point, and you don't really have to mention that with Slayer, though. That's just a given. But we should probably pay a little bit more attention to say, even on the lesser tracks on this album, the solos are still on point, except for one, I would say, comes later on. But yeah, we're kind of spoilt with them, and it's the same with the drums as well. We've kind of been spoilt with Bostoff on this album, who got sacked and then got brought back into the band when they toured on the album, weirdly.
Yeah, Bostoff is on fire on this album. Drumming is absolutely impeccable.
How much are we spoilt where we don't mention guitar solos and drums, though, when it comes to a band? Yeah. They do spoil us in a way, and but that's the problem with them. You notice it more when it's dialed in, when it's just phoned in music. And it's a good track, but I'm kind of getting this impression so far that a few people in the band just phoned it in. So this one, it's heavy and it's different, and it's not a bad song. It's not as good as Disciple, not even close.
No, but I think this album is just a good little album track. You had that massive fucking dramatic introduction to the album, and this is just it's kind of mid-paced. You got that interesting little bit where he goes a bit Marilyn Manson-y. It's sort of like I like the way that part is necessary for what it builds up to, because it opens up afterwards. You got that, and then it off the back of that it kicks into a solo, and then the tempo really kicks in. So a lot of people dismiss this song as a sort of like a slow sort of mid-paced one, but it does build up, and it does, once it gets to where it's going, it is a pretty cool song, and I think this song works a lot better live, you'll find.
Maybe I think I probably have seen this one live. Can we just talk about the artwork for the album that was scrapped, and then they had to rebring it out with the shittiest cover on an album that Slayer ever done?
You mean
they had the blood
cover
one, didn't he?
Yeah, you got the Bible covered in blood and nails and all the rest of it. But then
that was the best cover.
Yeah, well the white one with the crosses is only it's just a slip of paper in the CD. It's not. Yeah, let's have a quick look.
It just the white one's crap. Anyway,
yeah,
I know they had to do it because that's what Slayer has to do sometimes with the covers.
Yeah,
they don't get away with it as much as they used to.
Yeah, look, I've just got it here. It's literally just a slip of paper which you take out, and then the booklets, the Bible
the
one.
The right cover.
I think it was for religious reasons and all the rest of it, but I don't know, Cannibal Corpse seem to get away with it.
Yeah, maybe because they're not as big, maybe.
Yeah.
Because the more mainstream Slayer, as much as
I don't know why
times,
this one
don't be popular.
Because when you look up the album on like Spotify or whatever, the white cover's still the one that everyone sees. But
Spotify bends to fucking whatever's fashionable.
Yeah,
let's not get that wrong. Spotify's fucking California types, so.
But Christ Illusion had the same thing. Christ Illusion had a white cover, and you never seen a white cover for that anymore. So
no.
Maybe they just.
I don't know, maybe some things are acceptable. Desecrating a holy fucking book of made up invisible men who live in the sky is worse than, I don't know, a picture of an invisible man in the sky with one arm. I'm not sure. We're not religious on this show, have you noticed? So New Faith, talking of religion, this one sounds like the last one. And I bet you Tom really loves singing about this because it's full on about religion. I'm just not really into it, and it's only a 3-minute track, and it annoys me, and I skipped it. I got to about 2 minutes, and I'm like, do you know what? This just feels like it could be part two of the first song, and maybe they should have just mushed the two songs together and made a bigger, better song, because, I don't know, I just didn't get it. I didn't like it. Sorry.
I really like this song. I love it. There was a song on the last album as well, which was like, it was just straightforward and straight ahead. Was it Death's Head, I think it was?
Something like that, yeah.
Where it was, it's a bit like a punk song.
Yeah, and, that's the thing with Slayer songs. You won't remember the names, but the riffs you'll remember.
Yeah, and I just like the way this one just comes out. It doesn't mess around. And it's just headbanging. And keep the Bible in a pool of blood so its lies don't affect me. That's corny as fuck, but I can't forgive it.
It's not amazing lyrics, is it?
But you know,
it does a job, I suppose.
Slayer were never Shakespearean when they're writing, but then again, when you got the lyrics of that was so good on Disciple, it kind of, yeah, I'm not letting you off the hook on this one.
Because cast downs like this
because
as well.
You can write good lyrics because you had one 2 songs ago. But
I just feel like this album is just, I don't know, something by numbers for me so far.
Well, fuck me, you wait till the next album then.
We'll get to that, but Cast Down as well, they write a good opening riff, they write good riffs, but it's Slayer by numbers. I love Slayer, and I'm probably like one of the biggest Slayer fans I know generally, but this is Slayer by numbers, and I'm enjoying it a lot less than what I was when it came out. It feels like it's dragging on to me, and I'm feeling myself hovering over the skip button for a lot of the songs, and I can't put my finger on it. There's a couple of good songs so far, and that's me being generous. There's probably one of them, being completely honest, but it's just getting a bit feet draggingly shite, and I can't put my finger on what it is. One thing I do want to mention as well is that the quality of the audio of the album, the mixing is different depending on what tracks you're listening to, whether it's Tom Araya's vocal is quiet, Tom Araya's vocal is loud, bass is there, bass is not there, guitar sound weird, 7-string, non-7-string. It's just very erratic at times, the sound of it as well, and that kind of fucks me off too. And I just can't put my finger on it, but it's not working for me so far. There's not enough to warrant me saying, oh, this is a good album. It just feels shit for me. And that, and it pains me to say, because you know how much I love Slayer. I'm sat in a Slayer top right next to my favourite album of all time, Rain and Blood. But I just can't get into it.
Oh, right. Well, I'm going to go completely the other way and say this is probably my favourite Slayer album apart from Slayer's classic first five. Since Citizens of the Abyss, so you got Divine Intervention and Diablo Musica, which I always liked, but putting up Diablo against this, I think this, what didn't quite work on Diablo does work on this album. And I think what they tried to do in Diablo, they did do on this one. I think this album's really varied. There's a lot of different paces, a lot of different tricks they try out. They tried making a modern album. They said we wanted, it wasn't a secret. They said, you know, there's a lot of things going on at the moment in metal. You've got your new metal, you've got a lot of these hardcore bands coming out. You've got different techniques, different technologies, and we wanted to bring a modern Slayer album. So that's why they got, was it,
I understand why.
Yeah,
it's just integrity wise is this period in the band looked upon as like a great one? I would say no, mostly because they kind of tried to go on a whim and jump on that fucking corn-esque bollocks like Sepultura did, like a few other bands at the time did. Well, and did the music suffer for it? I'm kind of leaning towards yes, especially on this last album. Diablos in Musica was okay, it was passable, but this, we're getting to the stage now where I'm just fucking hating some of it, and I really hate myself for thinking that way, but it's just, and I've had a bad morning and I listened to it again to take the notes.
I think this has aged better, yeah. a lot better than Diablo.
There's more standout tracks. I would definitely say yeah,
you could probably, I'll meet you halfway, and I'll say you can argue the toss on how some of these tracks stand up individually. But cobbled together,
they haven't aged as well sonically either. There's a lot of weird mixing going on that I'm just, okay, you can see you've turned that seven string right up there.
Why did you do that? I think that must have just been in the studio. I think, again, they got this Matt Hyde because he was a young, upcoming producer at the time. And they wanted, you know, he wanted, Kerry King said he didn't want Rick Rubin because Rick Rubin just fucking lays on a sofa and eats and doesn't contribute.
He's made
anything.
Great albums, but doesn't do fuck all now, does
no,
he really?
Yeah. What have you done?
He's living off his legacy. Kind of yeah. Like Slayer do now, ironically.
Yeah, he knew that. And he wanted to make a modern heavy album, so he wanted a modern heavy producer. And this Matt Hyde was the upcoming kid at the time, and he impressed Kerry. So I think they've gone, everyone's working with seven strings at the moment, why don't you try a seven string guitar? And yeah, probably experiment a little bit with different tunings, so that probably makes a few things come out. But again, this was my album, if you will, because this was the one, yeah. This was the new album that came out when I was growing up. I'd got Diablo Musica, but I wasn't there when it was released. I was there when this was released, September the 11th and all.
You're not going to be drawn to the one you find first, yeah, though. That's fair.
And just this 42 minutes, these songs together in a single listen works for the 40 minutes that this album plays for me. I can see what you're saying, though, where the songs might not stand up on their own individually, which is a contradiction, I know, but again, I don't think any of these songs sound bad when they're thrown in a live set either. They break things up. And yeah, there's a lot more groove on this album. But then again, there's a lot of speed on this album as well. A lot of people think this album's like Diablo, where it is just like a groove album. It's not. There's a lot of thrash on this album as well. People seem to forget it.
But there is a fair bit hidden away if you look for it.
And
a lot of it's
at the end as well. Like the song sort of builds up and it comes into like a fast sort of climax.
Hmm.
But, yeah, go ahead.
So Threshold, it's a very short song, and this is where it picks up for me, and it pisses me off that it's so short. The only thing that it's being killed by, because it's really fucking fast and the riffs are good, stop, don't do your talky bit, stop it. I'll go on about this until the day our podcast falls off or we die. Talky bits, on the whole, don't work. Don't ever do a talky bit ever again because you'll break the song. And it kind of did break the song, but this, for me, it's a good short in-your-face Slayer song, which I really love, and they're really good at the long ones too, but if this could be bumped up the playlist, it would lessen the impact of the shittier songs for me, because it's that good of a little song. And Slayer are known for coming in, kicking you in the bollocks, smashing you around the head with a bottle and leaving, and this is one of them songs for me. I really like it, and it's picked up the staleness for me, and it's kind of made me not feel as bad for skipping a couple of songs earlier on. I like the song, and it could have been moved up the playlist. We like to chop and change when we review stuff, and this one should have moved further up. It would lessen the impact of the poorer songs.
I think, by the way, Tom is great on this album as well. I think he's got does a great vocal performance. I like the way he's basically just screaming his ass off all the way through it.
Yeah, he can't do that anymore. No. I've seen him live recently, and he can't do it anymore. He really goes out for it. So
I just think as well, it's kind of like a hardcore vocal on this as well. He's not really... It sounds like he's just gone in and just gone done. It's like they've done sort of one take, like they've captured the performance rather than making everything like the perfect take, if that makes sense. So yeah. It's got like a live feel to
it. They kind of, I've noticed it's, they've gone all digital for this recording, and you notice the fucking, the Cubase or whatever they fucking use to do it. I noticed that it's a slightly more manufactured version of the band where the playing, you can tell that they've double tucked stuff at times. You can tell it's a little bit, they've gone back and said, well, we need to record that bit at times. It does sound live at places, but you can see where there's been retakes, and it's noticeable for me.
What,
coming
vocally
from a digital,
or just...
Vocally and just generally. They tend to record as live, the main parts, and then you can see where they've gone back in and remastered stuff. And it has got that digital feel to it. For good or for bad, it's there, and I've noticed it. But yeah, Threshold is good. I think it probably they could bump that up, and it would mask a couple of the repetitive ones. And with the next one that comes in, Exile, it sounds like they've kind of it sounds like the same song again. The drumming's on point. Bostoff just owns it, but they're dialing it in. And I feel like at this time in the career, they've kind of fell out of love with the music. It's 2001. Music like this isn't really fucking of importance for a lot of metal fans at the time, and I feel like they're dialing it in, and they fell out of love, and I really don't like this album so far, and it's kind of become a bit of a chore to listen to for me. And listening to the other album, the passion and the anger, it kind of came back later on for them, and this you could see the seeds of it in the previous album, but now you can see it's kind of, they've kind of just, fuck it, we've got to make an album. It's something for us to tour on. Let's just dial it in. And this is the product of that for me. And it kind of continues for a little bit afterwards. And it grows until the last album, they actually wanted it, I think, more.
Yeah, I agree with you, but not yet. I agree with the falling out of love thing and the dialing it in. But I don't think that was on this album. I think it was more the next album.
I kind of feel like they're doing everything they can to keep themselves interested in it, and it's not worked as well.
Again, I think Kerry King gets a lot of shit. I think Kerry King... I saw some post the other day with some fucking guy that thought he was fucking clever, said that Slayer would be better without Kerry King. And it's like, mate, are you fucking retarded? No. Kerry King is the only reason Slayer even exists today, as much as...
Because they wouldn't...
They would have given up years ago.
Ariah would be sitting in a fucking farm reading the Bible now if it wasn't for fucking Kerry King on his case.
He keeps going out to fucking get the money in, which I don't begrudge, but he's...
He's ain't he? He's fucking ain't he?
But he's not... He doesn't give a shit about Slayer, and it should tell you something when he's not recording the bass on the albums anymore. I don't know when exactly that started, and I don't even know if it's fully true, but that's generally what people say in it, that Kerry's been...
I can imagine it.
Let it slip a couple of times, and Repentless, which we'll get to when we get round to that album, it was pretty much Kerry in the studio the whole time. I reckon Gary turned up and did solos for one day. And it was basically, once Paul's drums were done, it was done. And again, Tom, apparently, and yeah, Kerry worked his ass off on that album, by all accounts, you know. So Kerry is the one that gives a shit about Slayer. And when Christ Illusion came out as well, and again, when we get to review that album, we'll go into it in depth, and hope, and I will listen to that album, and hopefully I've come round and I like it. But I remember that album, I was anticipating like the fucking second coming. Dave Lombardo, the god of drumming, was back in the band.
Yeah, he, and, he came down from, or came off from hell, yeah, to rejoin the band.
And I think, by the, looking back now, Dave sucked all the fucking fun out of the room, because Paul Bostoff more than earned his place in Slayer. Whatever you think of this album, whatever you think of Diabla, whatever you think of Divine Intervention, fuck it, whatever you think of Undisputed Attitude, there's nothing wrong with the drums on any of those albums.
Divine Intervention has the biggest intro of any drum intro for a Slayer song ever.
It's so fucking heavy it blew Kerry King's hair off.
And, and probably his nail guitar thing for a bit disappeared during
and
that.
And don't get me wrong, like Dave Lombardo and Neil Peart from Rush are two that come to mind, where they're such great drummers that you actually drum along to a song rather than play air guitar or sing along. Slayer, classic Slayer and Rush, you drum along, you know. You didn't do that on Christ Illusion. I fucking forgot that Dave was even on the album. Like, the amount of times I used to listen to that album looking to enjoy it. I wanted to like the album, you know. I was there the day it came out, and I was like, where the fucking drums on this? Can't even hear
these
them.
These next two albums.
Yeah,
and Diablos in Musica, there's about three songs that they regularly play from it. It kind of tells you more on where they've went, and for someone who first started hearing Seasons of the Abyss when I was fucking 15 in the going to a club and drinking and sneaking in bottles of Diamond White, I had a leather jacket, a biker leather jacket, and I could sneak in the world record for bottles of Diamond White. The normal size bottles of Diamond White was 12 bottles into a rock club, and because it was expensive. I was only a school kid, but that's the world record, and boy, that was a great night. That's when I first heard Slayer, and it would come on and everyone would just get up because it was the fucking, they were the bollocks. Like, but I would say the group of albums around this time are least memorable for songs that have stayed around and people can associate with. But I don't know, this is where it kind of goes a little bit tits up for me as well. So Exile, is not much more I can say about it. What do you think about Exile?
I think it's a solid track. Granted, not the most memorable. Yeah, I can't really.
There's not much more else. Yeah. And that's the problem with it. Seven Faces as a moody intro. Let's move on. And he does like a good scream, but you can tell this album's being pro-tooled up. It's more robotic. And they tidied it up. They've gone in, and it's like our show as well. Sometimes you will, and I try my best not to edit stuff out so it sounds funny. But unfortunately, sometimes we just start talking to people. Like in the last show, we start talking about personal stuff, so we have to edit it out because I don't want to share stuff that people aren't happy with us sharing. And I'm always happy to do that for someone, and especially because we try to relate to people on a human level, and sometimes things come out that they wouldn't want to come out, and I understand that fact, and I will edit when it needs to be done. But this sounds like at times there's cut and paste jobs coming up, and they've tidied up a little bit too much, and the natural flow of the album for me at times is gone because of it. And I got bored listening to it. It's more talky shit, and I skipped it. It's a terrible track. Sorry. Gone. Bye.
Terrible. Fucking hell. This isn't a bad song for me. I think this is where, you know, the pace changes. It's a bit like every Slayer album kind of has that song. So where it's like 2-1-3 on Divine Intervention. When the Stillness Comes on Repentless. It's the slow serial killery song. You know?
And they always have one like this.
Yeah, and
I understand.
I don't mind it. I like the way it builds up. I like the moody introduction. I like it when Kerry, you know, gets a bit. It's the closest he gets to doing a melodic song, you know, is when he does his serial killery song.
I like the way it builds up. It's, you've got a the typical Kerry solo at the end.
Like, you know, a cat getting killed.
And, no, I like this song. I don't know. If, yeah. Well, I feel like I've been listening to a different album.
I don't know. I've been listening to them for fucking decades. And I don't know. I skipped it. And there's not much I could do with it. But, like, the next track for me is much better because I was kind of losing The Will to Live. The chorus is catchy, it's well written, and it flows better. Now, much of the previous songs, as how I've described it here, is shout, shout, drum, drum, solo. And this, I would have just said to you, like, it got to the stage where I'm listening to it, I'm like, I'm just going to fucking slate this completely, and it's just going to be me bitching about it. But this is a good song. The main riff is good, and it stands up. And I think I've heard them play this on occasion too, and this kind of saved it so far for me. It's a great track, Bloodline, and it's more modern sounding, but it's still got the good Slayer traits that you need for me.
Yes, it's a main song for them. They did a music video for this and everything. It was the single. Yeah. This is basically as close as Slayer get to a radio song. This song was the single, you know, and yeah, of course it's not fucking Angel of Death, you know, but they got to play the game as everyone else has. And
better throw the dice. I understand that.
If this is what, as close as Slayer got to, like, Black Album, you know, era, MTV rock video music, you know, this was as close as Slayer got to going commercial, and I can stand listening to this on, you know, if this song came up on Planet Rock or something,
they'd be like, oh, I like it.
Yeah,
the weird solos aside, it's a good song.
Yeah, we're a long way from South of Heaven, but
yeah.
This is
more. This is like the three album.
Yeah, for what it is, this is good. You know,
three album experimental phase for Slayer. Can we just say Diablos onwards? It's like, let's have a fuck about, because they were obviously bored with what they were doing, it wasn't going to be a massive seller given the time it came out as well, because that period in metal was a little bit barren for bands like Slayer. This is their Metallica phase. Metallica took longer to come out of it.
Look what Metallica did. Like, look how far down the fucking thing that Metallica went.
They never went
Load
down the rat hole too much. No.
This was them going commercial, and this I can live with. This is as close as they got to abandoning the original template. You know.
I can't, because it's such a diversion of what really worked for them. But yeah, Bloodline's good. Deviance, the intro's meh. The riff is good. The vocals are not. And it's really irritating, this song. And there's only a couple that they play live from this one. And it's aged. I don't know. It's shown its age badly for this one. This is poor. Musically, it's okay. But the sound scope is weird and fucked up. The solo here is awful. And I know that was the scene at the time to play, like, weird off-key solos and that. They tried to push the music further than they have with other tracks with Deviance, but it's not worked. It's a terrible fucking track. This is a really shitty, poor example of a poorly written, poorly vocalised, poorly fucking sounded Slayer track. This is the worst song that Slayer have ever done.
Oh, fucking hell. That is a fucking claim.
I can't stand it, man.
This is
pretty angry.
Much... This is actually pretty fillery for me, but again, it on the album, the way the album flows, it works for me. It's a slow, groovy one. I see what you mean. It's kind of stops and starts, and it just, for me, it just leads.
What's the fucking solo all about, though? It's not even a solo. It's just random bits of noise stuck on, yeah. Just to be groovy. I think this is their... to be groovy or something. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, this is their Rob Zombie.
Marilyn Manson.
Let's just make some weird noises. Oh, that's a solo. We'll stick that on. And this was done on fucking. This was done on a fucking. This was done on like a digital workstation. This was fucking Pro Tools up, and they put this as a fucking solo. Fuck off. Fuck this song. Fuck this fucking song. It's just terrible. I'm sorry. The next one's a lot better though. Warzone. This is straightforward Slayer. There's no stupid moaning. There's no seven strings of guitars. What I want from Slayer is mental neck slapping, slam jiving Slayer. Not all the other bollocks they plays around with. But I don't want that weird.
You certainly get it on the way out of this album. The last three tracks are pretty.
It picks up.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, this is a Dick Tease, this album. And again, it is the teaser at the end with it. Like, look at what you've could have won. That's a reference to Bullseye. If you've ever watched that program in the UK, they'd show you a prize, like a caravan that you could have won if you got the fucking... If you threw the darts in the game darts, and you, this is what you could have won. It's a Dick Tease.
They need to bring back Bullseye, because darts
they did, and
gets
it was
good
crap.
Views.
It was crap. Yeah, they brought it back on a shitty... channel in the UK called Challenge, and yeah, they did, and it was bollocks, man. It was this again. This is where the album probably could have mixed up the track listings. They could have threw one of these better songs further in to lessen the impact of the shit that they put out. This is one for the old school Slayer fans. This is one that stands out a bit more towards what they was rather than what they became over the three album periods we're talking about here. I really like it, and it's a great track. It really is.
Yeah, it's fucking 2 minutes and 45 seconds. It just goes for the throat and rips your throat out.
That's what you need.
Yeah, and I like these last three tracks, actually. Again, the lyrics are give the, you know, the next one especially, Here Comes the Pain and Payback's a Bitch, Motherfucker.
yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
It feels like they're having a Zappa moment, you know what I mean? At times with this album, they're just going, should we try that? Ooh, we've got digital. What happens if we press this button? Let's do this, let's do that. And they're like little kids playing in a fucking playground, and they're trying all the new shit. It's like taking your kid to the science museum and they're pressing all the buttons to make the lights come on and the fucking robot to dance. That's what they've done here. And if they'd only stuck to the plan, which is the end of the album, I think it would have worked more for me.
Okay. Yeah, Warzone.
Here Comes the Pain.
Well, this was originally recorded for WWC... Oh, I don't mind the fucking call. WWF or WCW.
It was one of them, so...
WWF. I think it was for...
SmackDown or something.
It was for a game, I think. Or I know the wrestler who it is. It's Brock Lesnar, you know, the MMA guy as well. It was meant to be his music or some shit like that, I think.
What, like a what the thing where they walk to the ring?
Yeah, like Motorhead done for fucking that Triple H wrestler. When they actually played live. Being a person who's 41 and still watched wrestling, to see Motorhead playing the wrestler, that was a fucking cool moment. Fuck you if you don't like it. I don't give a shit. But when the crossovers are quite good when you got metal and fucking metal and wrestling, it works for me. I don't mind this. It's a very happy... It's a very, very intro happy album, this, though. But it takes a while to get there, but when it kicks in, Bostoff owns it. Why are we getting these songs at the end of the album? Why can't we have them early on? It's a great track, and it's got plenty of thrash going on. And, visceral singing. You can see Araya decided that today's the day where I actually sing. And, he actually bothered here, and I really like this track. It's another good track.
Yeah, I agree with you. Again, this is sort of classic 90s Slayer, you know? Even though this came out on the arse end of it. This came out in 2001, didn't it? But you get what I'm getting at.
This is their period, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And, no, it kicks in nicely. It's a good... it works live as well. They played this on the DVD that came out afterwards. I can never remember what it's called. Live War at the Warfield. That fucking... Mm. That's a good DVD, that. You've seen it?
No, I'm sure it's on the YouTube, so I'll check that out, actually.
Check it out. It's about 19, 20 song set, and there's quite a bit from Christ's Illusion, actually. I think if you watch that, I think they play about 5 songs off this album, and I think watching the songs live, they go down better. It'll make a bit more sense. They even do, I'm just looking at it now, they do Stain of Mind as well off the last album.
Yeah.
And 19
I'll
songs
give it a
they
go.
Play. Yeah, check out War at the Warfield. You get it on Amazon for a fucking quid.
I'm sure there's some helpful YouTube pirater who's pirated it, and I'll be able to get hold of it. But Payback. This is another good track, and it just makes me think, why did they have to fuck about so much? Because it's a great way to finish a pretty underwhelming album for me. It's another standout track, and it's fast and it kicks you in the face. And this is what they should have done from the start, instead of just fannying about for fucking most of it. I don't know. This is the perfect finisher, where the other tracks before it could have been mixed better, not being put on the album at all. But like the list of tracks as well could have been mixed up to lessen the impact of the shit, because the shit just seems to stand out a lot more for me. But it's fast come in, kick you in the face, bottle you on the way out. This is the Slayer we should have got from this album, and we sadly didn't at times. And I don't know, I'm just pissed off with it. It just, I found the whole experience more of a, oh, for fuck's sake, why are you doing that when you could have done this? And Payback is the this that they should have done. I really like it. It's a great track.
Yeah, 3 minutes of just pure punishment, really. I mean, the Payback of Bitch Motherfucker is a bit, it makes me smile. It's whatever. It's a great pit song. And, you know, they even played this live now on the current tour.
Mm.
So
it's a strong track.
It's a song that sticks with Carrie. And no, great way to finish the album. And that's about it, really. I mean, don't really. It's 3 minutes of just
Slayer
shredding. Yeah. And I just think the payback. This became quite a controversial song as well, because obviously this song came out around the time of 9/11, and apparently when they played it, it kind of became the, yeah, war is good sort of fucking song. Then they put out Payback's a Bitch Motherfucker t-shirt with an American flag on the back and stuff like that. But
are they
whatever.
Playing Download Festival this weekend?
It's their last ever UK show, yeah. I toyed about going, but never.
But like, the weather's just going to be appalling. Why do they have Donington so early on now? Didn't it used to be like August, July time? They have it so early, and the weather's always shite in this country at this time of year. Last year was good, fair enough, but 9 times out of 10, June is more. It's going to piss down, and we look out the window now, and the weather for the rest of the week is piss down central.
Well, do you remember the one a few years ago? They nicknamed it Drownload, didn't they? They reckon it was fucking abysmal.
They don't have the facilities to fix it either. It's not like the one in Germany. They have drainage and shit, do they?
Yeah, they don't fucking lay it on. That's what they don't do. Tight cunts. Fucking amount of money that they charge. It should be a fucking paradise there. Toilets, etc.
They don't put facilities for people. That's why a lot of people have just gone, yeah, fuck off, let's go and do something else.
They reckon Download a few years ago, there was fucking letters being written to fucking, didn't someone get a local MP involved? It was like, this is a fucking, there was petitions, it was just like, this is bullshit. They reckon cars were sinking in the fucking, and they reckon it was just a fucking shit show.
You know what's upsetting for me, though?
Luke will tell you all about it.
Final UK show, and they're on the second stage headlining. Okay, the headliner, but come on. They're on a Sunday where you've got Smashing Pumpkins.
Fucking
Pumpkins and Fucking Tool.
You think you'd be headlining the main stage.
Slipknot on Saturday. If they stuck them on the Slipknot day on a Saturday on the main stage. I think that's really... The amount of time Slayer have played the main stage at Donington and Download, they should have fucking thrown them a bone and stuck them on there for their last ever gig in the UK. That's very cuntish of them.
All
especially
the
when you've got Tool headlining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
I don't know.
Pyrotechnics would have been great. I mean, Hella Waits looked awesome with the fire and everything. They're doing that on the main stage. Who knows? Maybe people just don't fucking watch Slayer, you know? I know you and me can talk about it all day, but numbers are numbers.
They did headline Bloodstock the other year, and so they do deserve at least fucking main stage status.
I'm not arguing that they don't deserve it. I'm fucking totally agreeing with you, but there's a big difference between Bloodstock and Download.
Well, everyone's going to get soaked and rained on all fucking weekends if you go and enjoy it, but at the same time, fucking June Festival, what are you going to get in the UK?
And go see Slayer in a tent, it'd be fucking awesome. And if you go watch Smashing Pumpkins, you can fuck
instead
off.
Of Slayer, then you're a cunt and you're listening to the wrong podcast.
And it's not even Smashing Pumpkins, isn't it? Just Billy Corgan and three mates.
The wrestling promoter, baldy guy. It's just him and some guy he's paid a wage to, probably. So let's give this a rating out of 10. I'm going first. I never do go first, so this time I am.
You six say out of that. 10. You say that every week. You always say
I know,
that.
But I tend not to, but this week I'm going to give it 6. I wanted the market lower, but there's some good tracks on it. This has some of the worst Slayer songs I've ever listened to, and I skipped a few. And I don't know. I suspect this is a slight midlife crisis for the band, with the previous album being good. This one kind of, should we just wing it and play around in the studio? This is the most experimental one for them, and it didn't work for me. So 6 out of 10 is me being generous. I probably, if it was in a worse mood than I am, which I am in a shitty mood, I probably would have given it a 5 or a 4. But it's getting a 6 because it's still Slayer, but it's not as good as they could have made it. They had the right formula. They just decided to do some Zappa stuff in the middle, and it didn't work. So 6 out of 10 is a fair number, I think, in the end.
I'll be giving this album an 8 out of 10. As I said earlier, this is my favourite of the later Slayer albums. Everything that didn't quite work with Diablo does work on this one. I think it's aged a lot better. It's a modern Slayer album. I think I agree with Gully that they went autopilot late in the later years, but I think they actually came after this one. And Disciple is a classic Slayer song, and it's a mainstay in the set for a reason. It is the best song on the album, and again, you can kind of argue whether the songs stand up individually, but as an actual album, I think this one works, and it's a good solid 40 minute listen. I really enjoy it. And for everything that you don't like, that's the reason I do like it. So we're kind of opposites on this album, and I'm glad we've got
it's weird for me to say that as well, because I really do like the band, and they're always going to be played in one form or another on whatever I'm listening to at the time. In the day, I will listen to at least one Slayer track a day, and I don't know, I just couldn't really get into it. And there was not much.
It was a chore for me,
which is hard. It's a chore.
Yeah, and I just want to stress, I am no Slayer fanboy. I'm not one of these, you know, I just take what I'm given and I love it no matter what. Because when we review the next two Slayer albums, you're going to see a dramatic shift in tone from me.
You may or may not from me.
First five albums,
again, can't be touched, but it's
hit and
miss.
Of course not.
How are you meant to go against your better self? Because that was their better self.
Well, that's
you
what
can
we...
can never be as good as you was, especially in this type of music. You're always living up to your last greatest album. You're always held up against it. Metallica, Megadeth, you name
we
it.
We skipped the first five albums, didn't we? We went in with Slayer. We started with Divine Intervention because this was where all the meat was. This is where the stuff that we could debate and discuss.
Because it would just be a loving.
Yeah,
and we got bored of doing love-ins with albums. Like, the last review was pretty much a love-in. This one, not so much. But there was more to talk about with Metallica on how they are now. This one, for me, it was a chore. And I'm going to go and listen to some of the tracks on this album again. One or two, but mostly no. And because they fucking irritate the shit out of me. And that's what made it different for me. And I wasn't really expecting it, but as I've been listening to it more and more over the weeks to get this review done, I found myself really disliking it. And I probably didn't dislike it as much when it came out, but now I'm just like, you can see it's being called in, phoned in. For me, and I can't get over that fact, and it sounded fucking weird too.
I'm hoping that my mind gets changed on the next two albums. I hope, like, with a bit of time and distance between listening to them, I start to like them more. I want to like them, you know, but yeah, those ones are just ugh. But this is one of the more for better for worse. I think as much as you didn't like this album, at least you're reacting to it. The other ones,
it got something out of me, but it was not what I was quite expecting.
There's nothing worse than listening to an album and you're going, I don't even remember what I just listened to, you know. We'll cross those bridges when we come to them. And I like this album, so yeah, fuck you.
So fuck you too. So what have you got to plug, you motherfucker?
Get yourself over to Repulsive Echo Records. I don't know if it's repulsiveecho.com or repulsiveecho.records.com, but look up Repulsive Echo Records and get yourself your reissue of The Will to Kill by Malevolent Creation before they sell out, because
they
it's
will.
Looking like they're going pretty quick, actually. I'm not even sure if there's any left. If not, go on to Bandcamp and just get the downloaded of the remastered version. It's a fucking awesome album. I'm currently working on a new issue of Metal Legion. I'll let you know when that comes out. I've just interviewed the other day. I just finished typing up over an hour long interview with Mike Browning, who was originally the drummer in Morbid Angel, and he's now Nocturnus, and he's now relaunched Nocturnus as Nocturnus AD, and the new album Paradox is just fucking awesome. That's it, really. I haven't really got anything to plug.
This is a short show, but this is a short album. The last one was epic, so if you haven't listened to that, it's been a really popular show. And our man who always asks for a new episode is back, asking for a new episode as soon as we've just put out a 2-hour one. So welcome back. We'll do it in our own time. But I've got nothing to plug. At Rock Show Online, if you want to send us messages. We're now on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes Podcasts, we're on Google Podcasts. So if you go to a Google smart speaker and say, okay, and then the word Google, and then ask it to play The Rock Show with Gully and Joe, it will actually come on. We never submitted our podcast to Google. Magically, they've been spying on me looking at weird porn and decided to add our podcast to their listings. I'm happy about that because it's there and it's something I didn't have to do. But I recently popped us on Spotify. So if you listen to Spotify a lot, go on and play us on there so we've got actually people listening there too. So share the love. If you've enjoyed it, share it. All that remains for me to say is thanks very much for listening and see you later.
See you next time.